Morbs. That's right. We're talking about MMORPGs today, folks. Morbs. That's the official way of saying it. Okay, so for those familiar, there's usually a certain mechanic in these games. The guild mechanic, right? The party up mechanic, sometimes called the faction mechanic. But you're basically in the world and you're joining a community with other people. And within that community, you can find people to quest with, to do dungeons with, right, to trade with. But it's a group of people, it's a community that you can join. But we're gonna take a slice of that and we're gonna dive a little deeper into an example of dungeons, right? So say you're playing a game and you party up with, you know, five other people. And you enter a dungeon. There's usually on the team of five people, there's usually a DPS, right? So that's damage per second. And those people are dealing damage to the monsters in the dungeon, right? They're the DPS. Then you have like the tank, right? And they are sort of a dealing, they're taking the brunt of the damage, right? Because they're usually large. They can handle it. They can, you know, handle the damage being dealt onto them because they have a lot of health. So while they're taking the damage, then the DPS is doing more damage to the monster. Then you have, you know, the healers sort of casting spells on the party and healing them constantly throughout these different battles. And you have like long range DPS, short range DPS, etc., etc. But the point I'm getting at is there are many jobs in this group of people. And what is required of them is a deep level of communication. But if we think about it, the next level of MMORPG is obviously the Vermark. And so I think on this further. Now all of a sudden, we are in a situation where we are still, you know, coordinating together in this team, attempting to complete a task, but all of a sudden we aren't typing anymore. We aren't hitting 1 through 9 on the keypad to do different attacks. We aren't clicking from here to there to move. No. We are now running on a treadmill. We are now slashing with our arms and hands to kill the monster. All the while communicating with our fellow party members so that we all know where to be at what time and how to take down the situation that is at hand. I think this implication is beyond just a game at that point because it's a real world thing at that point. It is in the moment. It feels like life or death, right? And imagine that, because all of a sudden now you are communicating with people across the world, thrown into a situation that is out of hand and must be dealt with, right? The giant evil spider. Ogre hybrid. It's a half spider, half evil Shrek hybrid. And you are a party of five Shrek. And you must complete this within 5 minutes. You're thrown into the lion's den, and you must all coordinate together. So you're not only coordinating through voice, you are coordinating your actual body movements in sync to take down the monster at hand. That is a level of socialization, of communication, that I think will be extremely vital to psychological development for the generation that grows up in VR headsets. And it's a great thing, you know? It can be. I think that the fact that the technology introduces this level of communication inside the household. It also opens up, though, just like this huge portal for a lot of terrible things to pass through as well. So many creeps, like predators, can be in the headset now and prey on people. And I think there has to be a realization that the rules, the boundaries that a parent instills in the child, in reality, right, have to apply to virtual reality. I think it's paramount. I think looking at history, like, we're okay. We're here. There are a lot of good people that will help combat the evil in the world. And it will always be like that. So, as it specifically relates to the topic at hand, I think there just has to be a discussion on what the best tools are to implement into these software, these metaverse experiences, these realities that we are building that will enable the individual to, step one, get away from the predator that is preying on their minds. Because now I think the real danger isn't necessarily, say, physical exploitation. It is psychological. Because to both individuals, the reality they in which they are communicating in is the same as physical reality. I think VR chat, I think Oculus are so far doing an okay job, from what I can see, of enabling users with the tools to protect themselves. Like blocking. Remove the person that's in front of you. I think that's a vital tool. But that still leaves open the psychological aspect. There will be bad apples in the camp, you know. And I think it will be up to a human task force to clean the garden of predators.
Oh, but she's 14.
Not according to what I was told. But,
you know. Oh, what you were told? Let's read it then,
no,
shall we?
No, I'm not talking about on there. I'm talking about by somebody else.
By someone else? By someone else?
But if that's the case, I'll just...
FBI, open up!
Folks, we're taking some calls over at the virtualexperience.link. You can head on over to that URL in your web browser and click the little message box if you'd like to talk and leave a message. I'd love to chat with you. This first question is from Gregory.
Do you think Half-Life Alyx will come to Quest or Quest 2?
Hey, thanks for the question, Greg. I can't imagine it coming to the Quest itself. I think the hardware on the Quest is just not up to par. But I will say, I think, just in general, this is just a general thought, the optimization that we saw on Half-Life Alyx is absolutely incredible. I mean, it is a breathtaking game. Probably one of the... No, I will say it. The best-looking VR storyline game out there right now. And if we're talking about it, you know, running on a mobile hardware, I don't know enough about the XR2. I think it's the XR2 Snapdragon on the Oculus Quest 2. I don't know enough about that to know technically if it can handle it. But the other firewall I see is the fact that, unfortunately, Oculus is sort of like a lockdown system. So I can't imagine them anytime soon adding native Steam VR support to their mobile headsets, but I do have hope that there will be some hackers out there that will figure out how to put Steam VR games on the Quest too. So hopefully when that comes around, we'll see some ports of Half-Life Alyx on the Quest too. But in the meantime, I think we got to use the link for that. We'll see. Thanks for the question, Greg. I was taking my dog out on a nice walk, letting her get some air. She was, sniffing around in the grass, and I was looking around, and the breeze was starting. I thought to myself, winter is coming. And sort of that transitional period, you know, between summer and fall, sort of the cool breeze, the distant smell of pumpkin in the air. It's fall, folks. It's almost fall. And I was thinking, you know, I think for the metaverse to be fully livable in terms of jobs, economies, socialization, I think we'll have to have at least a sense of coordinated time, which got me thinking, of course, to a certain time zone that I'm definitely very behind on this time zone because I'm definitely not the first person to think of it. But the time zone is UTC. Coordinated Universal Time. From Wikipedia, Coordinated Universal Time is the primary time standard by which the world regulates clocks and time. It is within about 1 second of solar time at zero longitude. It is not adjusted for daylight savings times. So it's not located anywhere. It is the universal time. I think the metaverse should be built on the back of UTC. I think there should be a coordinated time that the day and night cycle is. So that when you say to your friend that's over there in Nigeria, you say, hey Yoko. You want to go, you want to meet up in, the quest stage, man, right? And you're over there in New York. You don't know what time that is, but you can just say, okay, let's meet up at, 6 p.m. UTC, right? And your friend will know exactly when it is. And when you guys meet up, the sun will almost be, setting over there on the City 1 Metaverse, Grand Station, and you can jump on the bus and head over to the game, and you can check it out. Right, but there's something about humans, like we dig familiarity. And so I think if we're talking about having a coordinated time that we're all working off of, I think that expands even beyond Earth, right? Because let's put on our thinking caps and fast forward to, say, 50 years in the future. Hopefully by then we will be interplanetary at that point, right? At least in Mars. Excuse me, at least with, bigger space stations orbiting Earth that you can head to. And then from there, I think we would probably expand further. But as we expand further out, the sense of time is lost because our sense of time as humans is based on Earth. A year is 365 days. A day is 24 hours. 24 hours is when the sun does a cycle. Right? But when you're, in a different place in space, there's no sense of that. But there is a sense of UTC. So say you're in a space station. And you can head on to the metaverse and it's 6 p.m. UTC. It creates a sense of community. Because everyone is synced up. Rather than everyone being on a different time zone, a different thing. So if you choose to follow the sleep pattern, the circadian rhythm, in other words, it would be UTC. That's what I would hope for, at least. I know it's interesting to me to think about the implications of having a coordinated universe. That can be connected to anywhere on the earth, and you know exactly what time it is for everyone. Just if we're just speaking based on the fact of, like, it would be interesting. I don't know what the implications of that would be, right? Because for the most part, the business world, right, the internet, it's kind of universal already. I mean, like, there's not really much of a difference between night YouTube and day YouTube. It's all based on what you are subscribed to, right? There's not much of a difference between night Google and day Google. Night Facebook and day Facebook. It's all based on who you connect to. But with this extra meta layer, where there is now a difference between night metaverse and day metaverse, I think it would just straight up be interesting, right? To have a day-night cycle that is synced up across the world. I don't know. Just a thought. Folks, hey, if you want to join the show, you can head on over to the virtualexperience.link and click the little message box. I'd love to hear from you. You can basically just record a message and send it over. Next question from Trey.
If monkey does see, does that mean necessarily monkey do?
Well, if monkey does see, then obviously there came monkey did A and monkey did B. So to answer your question fully, I would have to know what the implications are of C. And even further on that, I would hope that we would sort of understand the explanation of what is monkey E, you know? What is monkey D? What is monkey F? You know, because after a while, monkey C is monkey do. But I think the real question is, if monkey do, is monkey see? Folks, this was the virtual reality experience. Thank you so much for watching. The predator catching clip was by Anxiety Wars on YouTube. I'll see you next time. Peace.